Y'all better not come to my studio with that fake shit. Y'all better not come to my funeral with that fake shit. Y'all better off realizing there's nothing that y'all could do with me. All I ever ask is keep it 8 more than 92 with me.
What up, though? January 23rd, 2017, 3 weeks into the new year. What are you guys doing differently? I started working out. I didn't work out when I was in Tampa. I was a little depressed about not having, you know, a lot of friends there and not being able to play tennis. So I really just didn't work out. I just, you know, really worked on my diet and eating better. So now that the new year is here, it's not a cliche thing. It just so happened that's when football season ends and where my life actually begins. So I got back in the gym. I don't know if some of you guys follow me on Snapchat, but I work out in my underwear, a sports bra and underwear for the most part. That's about it. It's all you need in a home gym. If you build a home gym, you get to kind of come and go as you please in it. There's no dress code. So started working out in the new year. I stopped giving a fuck about a lot of you guys' mentions and comments. Using more of the mute button, allowing you guys to still see my tweets but not block you. So what else am I doing in the new year? Trying to get my podcast off the ground even better. I'm going to start recording it for video, have it on YouTube so that you guys can see me in person when I'm doing the podcast. You kind of laugh at some of my outfits and some of the stuff that I wear. And hopefully that will draw in more people that will come in live into my little homemade studio and record with me. But that's some of the things that I have going on. I'm still going to be doing the Women on Wednesdays. I'm hoping that next week I will have my first female interview. I'm hoping to have that. So be patient with me as I try to get that Women on Wednesdays off the ground. Every time I say the word Wednesday, oh my God. I think about my homie Tax, man. I can't believe they got my nigga. I really can't believe it. But you know, we're going to push through. There was a lot of things Tax and I were talking about and that we had in the works. Some things that we were going to be building on. And just because, you know, he's hemmed up, that doesn't mean I'm going to stop. I'm going to continue doing some of the things that he and I wanted done so that when he does get out, he could see that, you know what I'm saying? He could fall right back into place where he was, you know, when they clipped him. So shout out to Tax and anybody that really supports him and is still supporting him regardless of, you know, the accusations, whether true, false, whatever. You know, supporting people that are down is always going to be a plus in my book. Everybody's, you know, can talk shit and hate, but you know, it takes a lot to support somebody that's in a bad situation, especially when all the information, you know, isn't out yet. So be respectful, my nigga. Respect the iHeartMiko podcast because I'm doing big things, baby. I'm having great guests on. I'm going to be having a great guest on for you today. Starting safety for the Miami Dolphins, Michael Thomas. There's so many Michael Thomases if you Google that. So make sure you Google Michael Thomas Dolphins so that you know exactly who you're talking about because he was one of the guys that wasn't drafted. You know how it goes when you're not drafted. A whole bunch of people are like, who? Who is this? Who is this? And then you hear these stories about them, you know, on podcasts and interviews, and you know, you get a peek inside of what the NFL really is like for most of the players. You know, everybody's not drafted and getting all these endorsements and on TV and radio every day and being loved and people taking pictures of them. There's a whole bunch of guys in this league that are going by quietly, you know, balling, doing dope things and getting no recognition. So I love having guys on that are, you know, silent assassins that do all the work and get no reward. So let me get my boy Mike T on here so we can get this off the ground for you guys. All right. So Michael Thomas, undrafted out of Stanford, right?
Undrafted. Undrafted. So we got Chip on our show.
Chip. You got the Chip. We had, what was the, you guys had an undrafted crew. We used to hang out at our house. You, AJ Francis, Brent, who else was in that crew? Who,
you see who,
the white boy. Oh.
Kovacs.
Kovacs. Man, where is he right now? Is he in L.A.?
Nah, he was in camp. Kovacs, I think he just chilling in Ann Arbor, Ohio, just training, trying to figure out if he go coach or not.
So he's not on a roster right now? I thought he went to the Rams or something.
He was there during camp.
Okay. Damn, okay, I got to link up with Kovacs. Man, I haven't talked to him since he left. He dipped so quick, too. Damn, that was a homie. So a group of undrafteds, we all used to hang out together and tell our stories. Because, you know, your
Hello,
story.
Me?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I can hear you now.
Oh, sorry, you couldn't hear me? Damn. Okay, so a group of undrafteds, we all used to hang out and tell our stories because, as you know, the undrafted story is hardly ever told. So...
Oh, for sure.
How do you feel being undrafted, and how do you feel about undrafted players overall and their story not being told in a league as difficult as the NFL?
I mean, it's crazy to think, you know, undrafted players aren't, you know, celebrated more than they are, especially in a league that's made up predominantly of undrafted or late-round players. But, you know, I think it's egos that get in the way. You know, you got scouts whose whole profession is to, you know, work year round to evaluate talent, you know, so-called talent. And for them to constantly get it wrong, you know, where the whole league is made up of undrafted and late round picks, you know, they can't celebrate that. You know, they gotta cover their track.
You are exactly right. You can't keep saying, you know what, we messed up again, because this guy is still in the league. He's actually balling. You know what I'm saying? You had an incredible season, 54 tackles, 1 sack, 2 forced fumbles. Year 5, congratulations. Like you're here. You're actually still in the league, undrafted. You aren't even supposed to be here, but you're still here and having a great season. What is it like to have a season like last year in year 5, which is is a pivotal year in NFL years? You know, this is kind of like where you roll into that veteran status, and here you are having a great year. What did it feel like for you?
I mean, for me, it was just, you know, it was gratifying just because, again, you know, you wasn't supposed to be here. And like you said, it's year 5. It's getting to that point where, you know, where they're evaluating, okay, is this a guy we want to give any type of second contract to? And for me to, you know, to have pretty much statistically the best year of my career, you know, that was just a, you know, a tribute to, like, all the work that's been put in, you know, me constantly believing in myself and just trying to prove myself right, not necessarily even trying to prove them wrong anymore.
Right, because at this point, you know, sometimes when you get into the situations and dealings with the NFL, a lot of the players like you who kind of came up on the practice squad and, you know, due to injuries and things like that, you were given opportunities to shine. You almost have to take that whole, like, this is a personal thing for me. Like, I'm going to get better because nobody's really around you, motivating you, highlighting you and showing you off. You know what I'm saying? Talk about that a little bit as far as the guy that's undrafted or the guy that's on the practice squad that doesn't really get the shine of all the star players and some of the things you have to do to prepare yourself.
Oh, definitely. Well, shoot. I mean, especially I can still remember that mindset I had when I was on the practice squad. Like you said, literally you're on the team, but you're not really on the team. You know, you're doing everything. You're at every practice and every single meeting, travel with them, but, you know, obviously you don't play. So the only thing that keeps you going is, you know, just hoping for that opportunity. So, you know what, even though I'm not playing, even though I'm not involved in, like, the game plans and all that stuff, you know, every meeting, you know, I'm paying attention to get better. Every lift, you know, I'm making sure I get stronger. Every practice, you know, I'm going out here trying to work on my craft. So whenever I do get that opportunity, you know, I'm ready to go. Nobody's going to have to, you know, wait on me to make a play. You know, I'm going to be ready, you know, so I can kick that door down if that opportunity comes. So nothing's changed with year, you know, in year 5, you know, I might not be the guy that our franchise, you know, like, you know, they might have other guys that they want in the game plan, but they understand, okay, Mike's going to be a guy that we can rely on, you know, regardless if they want to say it or not. But, you know, fortunately enough, you know, I was in a situation where, you know, it sucks that injuries happen, but an injury happened where, you know, they actually had to rely on me. Mm-hmm. And our coaches, they trusted me enough to put me out there. So, you know, I was able to take advantage of the opportunity.
Right. And so, you know, a lot of the interviews and some of the things that I read about you, everybody refers to you as a veteran guy. Like, you're 26. And I know that that's like it's not even like that new veteran. It's almost like old money. Like, you've been here 10 years now. Everybody just, you know, expects you on special teams to do everything right. It's whenever you, you know, free safety, strong safety, nickel, whatever they call on Mike Toms to do, it is expected that you do a good job. Is that pressure, or do you feel like that's swag?
Oh, nah, no pressure at all. Like, I'm glad you noticed it, because not too many people even highlight that. I have only 26, but you definitely get that feel like, okay, yeah, Mike's that veteran guy. And we did have a lot of young guys with this Dolphin team. So, you know, it was crazy being one of the oldest guys in the room. But at the same time, nah, it's no pressure. You know, I just want to go out there and prove, you know, I could be the guy that go out there and leads a unit, leads a group.
Wow. So one thing that I want to talk about, like, you know, a lot of people that aren't Dolphin fans or, you know, don't live in South Florida don't really understand that you will go down in history as a legend. No matter what else you do in your career with the Dolphins, you will go down in history as a legend, because your very first game as a Dolphin, you intercepted Tom Brady in the end zone for the game at home. That is epic. That is like crazy. Winning a Super Bowl for real, like, kind of. Do you agree?
Oh, definitely. I mean, all the fans, you know, me, they remind me of it every single day, you know, on social media, or if they see me, like, that was crazy. Coming off the practice squad, and, you know, that's my first week there. I didn't even take a rep with them at practice. You were claimed
off the practice squad from the 49ers. You were claimed last minute off waivers. Boom, here comes Michael Thomas. Boom. Did you even know any of your guys on the team and they threw you out there?
Nah, I mean, obviously, you know, stars like Brandon and Rashad, you know, heard of their names, but like, nah, no players. Didn't know anybody. Just out there trying to get my opportunity, trying to shine.
And then you batted down one. He kept trying. I remember the series. He kept, you know, it was set up for a typical Tom Brady run, you know, saying drive the ball down your throat in the last few minutes of a fourth quarter and take a win from you. And it looked like he was picking on you, and he just had you fucked up. Like, this was not today, Tom. Like, he really had you messed up. And you picked the ball off, and I was at the game, and I was just like, oh, my God. Like, you are a legend. Legend. That's very legendary. And I don't even know. That's just Tom Brady. It was Tom Brady, and it was for the game. That's impressive, Mike. Like, you're going to hear about that for the rest of your career anytime you go anywhere.
Oh, definitely. I mean, that's one, you know, I'll be able to tell the kids about. All the fans, they constantly remind me of it, Beak. But, you know, at the same time, you know, like, any guy who can actually play, when he finally get his opportunity, you know, you just got to take advantage of it. That's all that was. Like, I remember my mindset going to that game. Like, it didn't matter what the coaches asked me to do. If I got my chance, you know, I was going to go out there and just try to make a play. I didn't imagine it would be like that, but, you know, I thank God for it. But,
you know, that's
how it goes.
This is exactly how Brent got his opportunity. You know, he was on the practice squad, you know, for a while, and then he finally got moved up from the practice squad. And, you know, he wasn't playing, and a bunch of people got injured. And then the next thing you know, he's starting, and he had 6 interceptions that year off the bench.
Funny how that works, huh?
Yeah, off the bench last 6 or 7 games of the season, something like that, ends the season in 6 interceptions. Next thing you know, it's like, who is that guy? You know, so guys like you, of course, we all hate to see injuries. We hate to see any guy go down, let alone somebody on our own team. But you guys had some serious injuries in that secondary, which gave you opportunities. Can you give me a timeline of kind of how it happened? Because I was trying to explain to some people about the Bucs injuries and how things kind of played out, how it kind of like hurt us real bad. People don't really understand injuries and how they hurt even worse when there's like a timeline. Like, so can you tell me how your secondary broke down and how it all kind of played out at the end of the season?
Oh, yeah, you're talking about with the Dolphins this year.
The injury, yes, the injury, because your secondary got bit real bad this year.
Oh, what? Yeah, like, obviously, like, when Rashad first, it started with Rashad going down, and that was like week 5, the first time we played Pittsburgh. So he goes down, you know, me, you know, I step up, you know, I got to start. Then we bring in Bakori Rambo. So, okay, cool. You know, like, we've got a couple safeties in, you know, to replace a production of Rashad, because that's not hard. You know, that's big shoes to fill. So that's fine. You know, we're going. But shoot, then I think, you know, Xavier Howard gets hurt. And then, you know, that's our starting corner. Mm-hmm. So, okay, it doesn't matter. Lip finally gets his opportunity to shine, and he knocks the door down, catching two picks in the, you know what I'm saying, a game, like two different games. So we're fine. But then, you know, just stuff starting adding up. You know, our other starting safety gets hurt, Issa. Abdul Qaddous, he goes down, and Issa was like one of our, like our, damn near our heartbeat, you know, just the communication king. You know, he's always talking, so we lose him. That everybody knows in the secondary, you got to have communication. Then, you know, our big corner, you know, our money man, Max, he goes down. So now you're talking about a lot of experience, a big physical body out there who's guarding, normally shadowing the number one receiver for the other team. He goes down. So now we're trying to make up for three or four, pretty much the four guys I was penciling in to start the game, the guys that we were, like, making our game plans around. All four of those guys are
And then
out.
You have backups so playing, got, and your backups exactly, backups are playing. Like, it causes exactly, a big old mess, right?
Exactly. I mean, there's times where, and that's just to start the game, let alone if somebody actually gets, like, tweaked something during the game. So now you'll have, you know, one guy who was supposed to play free safety, now he has to go move to nickel for a couple plays to spill a nickel. Now we got to bring in another safety in to give, you know, to play his free safety position, moving guys around. So that's where our secondary was. But you know what? We loved it for the most part because, you know, it gave a whole bunch of guys who've been waiting for their opportunity finally got the chance. You know, they got the opportunity to play. Mm-hmm. But toward that end, when you start playing that better competition, you know,
it starts to show that you need
where,
your starters.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. You need your starters out there, that continuity, you know, that communication. You know, that because it broke down toward the end. You know, I have all the confidence in the world in the guys that went out there and battled with me. But at the end of the day, you still need your starters out there.
Right. So you go from this hero, your first game as a Dolphin, and then now you're playing Captain Save-A-Ho all through the secondary. Like, anytime somebody, I mean, that's just really what you were. You had a cape on, Mike T. I mean, that's just what it was. Then you got the nerve to be clowning on special teams. You know what I'm saying? They you know, you got snubbed in the Pro Bowl this year. We all saw it. Only reason I wasn't beating on the table for you because we had a guy on our side, too, that was doing just similar shit to what you was doing. So, you know, I can't shade my nigga. I can't. You know what I mean? It was no shade on my side. I hope you understand that. It's just rules.
Yeah, already.
You know, because Robinson and Arte, he was balling, too. But so you get the snub. And to me, one of the things that you, the best thing that you did this entire season was take a knee to support what you, I want to ask you why you took the knee, because everybody knows that when Kaepernick, you know, when it became national media, Colin Kaepernick was taking a knee for oppression, bigotry, racism, police brutality, all these things. Exactly. A lot of players followed suit and you were one of them. So can you tell me out of your own mouth why you decided to take a knee, September 11th to the end of the season, because you're one of the guys that never got up. So I'm going to shout you out for that, too. So give me exactly why Michael Thomas took a knee this year.
Man, I took a knee. First off, you know, you can't talk about that without bringing up Cap like you did. That man, that took a lot of, you know, I mean, he's been doing stuff like that, you know, previous from this year, but it just, you know, obviously just hit the media this year. But he pretty much open everybody's eyes to, like, okay, we have a voice. You know, we have a platform. We have a voice to actually talk about some of these issues, bring up some of these issues that need to be talked about on a regular basis. And once I saw, okay, wait, he's taking a lot of heat for, you know, taking a stance against something that everybody should probably be, you know, talking about and, you know, be for, you know, for, like, not having a person, you know, for, you know what I'm saying, for not, you know what I'm saying, not being racist. You know, everybody should be against racism and all that. So this is why he's taking a lot of heat for it. So I'm like, okay, nah, this is an opportunity for, you know, other guys to do something, to step up and do something, because I know for a fact, I felt a certain type of way when all those, like, shootings that happened this past summer with Alton Sterling and
Philando Castile.
Yeah, exactly. And they were, like, within days of each other, like, the same week. Mm-hmm. Like, I think back-to-back. And, you know, I went to Congress, you know, like, trying to like, do something about it, and all that stuff happened. So now I actually get a chance to use my platform, to use my voice, to show, like, okay, no, this is not okay.
So you know, actually this, went and you went to speak to people in Congress, or you went to government officials? See, okay.
That was trying to do something.
Nobody was listening to you.
Exactly. Exactly. No, you know, that it didn't catch that much publicity.
Right.
You know, that guys were trying to get out in front of it. You know, I've done work with cops before to try to bridge that gap between our communities and the law, you know, and our law enforcement.
Uh-huh.
But now, okay, yeah, it got a little publicity, but, you know, it wasn't to that magnitude. But now, okay, I get a chance to actually stand up and say, okay, yeah, this squeaky clean guy that graduated from Stanford, team captain and all that, he's saying, no, it's not okay.
Right.
So that's why I chose to take a knee. And it was a hard decision, especially on September 11th. But you know what? There's a lot of wrongful deaths that's happening. It doesn't matter if it's September 10th, September 11th, mm-hmm. September 12th. So, you know, there's no reason to say, okay, I'll protest, but just not, exactly, there's no day off. I'll protest, but just not on this day. Like, no. Like, if we're going to take a knee, and I'll give a lot of credit to Kenny Stills and Aaron Foster, because some guys were debating, should we just not take a knee that day, should we just hold up a fist that day and then take a knee, but they were like, nah. You know, I think we should just be in solidarity with all the rest of the guys in the league and, you know, take a knee, you know, mm-hmm. with them. And, you know, we ended up talking to Mr. Ross and his RISE program, and he said he was all for it. So once he gave us the green light, exactly. Once he gave us the green light, say, hey, I support y'all regardless of what y'all do, it was a wrap.
I struggle. You said I just stuttered because I was about to give Mr. Ross a compliment because, you know, he could eat all my shit, all of it. And I know that's your boss, but I don't approve of that, man. But hearing you say that
oh, definitely,
like, put a slight I just smiled a little bit, like, wow, Mr. Ross, like, thank you
for not being a complete
dickhead. Like, so there are some things about him that we can celebrate. So shout out to Mr. Ross for that moment that I just had of celebrating him, because I was going to ask you what the front office had to say about it, and I just thought it was going to be something like, well, we don't do those type of things. You know, but that's dope.
Nah.
That hearing that,
nah,
I got something. There it goes. That was my first positive for Mr. Ross outside of, you know, him being a great, you know, real estate developer. So that's two. Boom. I got two things. So tell me about the reactions that you got at the home games and then on the road as well from fans.
Well, first, you know, obviously, all of our fans, they didn't understand it. You know, they couldn't see past 9/11, which, to some credit, I'm not gonna say I totally understand, but I get why they were upset.
Because they're stupid. Especially that's why. You don't have to say it. I can say it.
I'm not. I was about to say, I ain't saying
you.
That,
you can say they're misinformed. They're uneducated.
I get their anger, especially for September 11th. I get their anger. So. Initially, it was nothing but, you know, degrading comments, you know, wishing me ill, you know, wishing my family ill,
mm-hmm.
and all that.
All things that will get an ass whooping if you weren't Michael Thomas of the Miami Dolphins. And they know that.
For sure.
But,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. All via social media. Nothing in person. All
right.
Via social media. Nothing in person. You know, the occasion, you know what I'm saying, wishing death upon me. You know what I'm saying? But it's all via social media. However, all that swiftly changed once they saw we were actually doing work in the community.
Once
they saw that we had actions along with us taking the knee to show, like, we're like what's going on in our country right now with the wrongful deaths and, you know.
So you educated them.
And nothing. Exactly. They saw that. They were like, damn, there's actually, okay. I mean, it's crazy that it took that for them to realize stuff was actually wrong.
Yeah.
Stuff was actually going on in our country that, you know, needed attention to.
Mm-hmm.
But once they saw that we, like, all of us, exactly. Once they saw we were actually in the community trying to work, trying to come up with solutions and stuff, their tone changed. However, on the road, in those road games, I say it was a good 4 road games where the stuff that people were saying was just crazy. You know, I could tell it got to other players.
What road games was that?
It didn't matter to me. Oh, definitely the Cincinnati road game. That's the most, was like the loudest I heard it. New England, when we went up to New England, second game of the season. It was San Diego, but I mean, there's a military base there, so I can see it. So San Diego, those three for sure. Other ones you might hear a little bit, but not really.
Wow. Well, that's not too bad considering that, you know, you did have 8 road games. So 3 out of 8, you know, in America, I'll take that. I'll really take that, especially with football, because, you know, the majority of football fans are people that are, you know, irrational, you know, don't want to hear what anybody else has to say. And they don't like to mix their politics with their football. And unfortunately, you know, people have to understand that that's your platform. Your platform is your job. That is how you get your point across. So they just got to get these bars, because that's your way out. People were like, why don't you protest another way? Well, when else, Michael Thomas, do you hear the national anthem and you're asked to stand and salute the flag? When else throughout your whole life? Never,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And a lot of people, you know, like you said, they just didn't want to mix reality with their football. You know, this is a chance for them to get away from whatever their life, you know, is going on in their lives, and just enjoy entertainment. But, you know, for some reason, this year was the year where players was like, nah, it's enough.
It's just,
you know,
too much.
Enough.
It's just way too many deaths, like, too many things happening. I want to ask you this. If you could do it all again, would you still just take a knee? Would you raise a fist and a knee? Would you sit? Is there anything that you think you might have done a little differently in reaction to your protest this year?
I've had those thoughts. You know, I've written little pieces. I didn't necessarily publish them or come out with them, you know, questioning, okay, did I do the right thing? And then I might see something and, you know, I reaffirm myself like, nah, yeah, I'm doing something right. You know, if these people are still like coming at me or saying like, oh, you know, why are you taking a knee? You're stupid, dumb, blah, 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 blah. Then yeah, nah, I'm doing something right. And what gave me conviction that, okay, nah, I wouldn't change a thing. I would do it all over again. I would continue to take this stance, is that in 10, 15, you know, 20 years, you know, I know for a fact I'm going to be able to look at this and say, hey, there was oppression. There was unjust, you know, unlawful, unjustful, stuff going on back in that time, and I did something about it.
You did. You did, you know, do something about it. You know, a lot of people don't really understand, Mike T. It took a lot for you to do that because, like I said, you were undrafted. Your feet are not firmly planted into the NFL like a lot of people. You could be the fuck out of here at any moment if somebody chose to. And the fact that you put your family and your livelihood on the line for you know, your people and for what you feel is right, I mean, that should be commended, and I salute you and I respect it, because I know what it took for you to take that stand. It's way bigger than anything people could imagine losing, you know? Yep. So I appreciate you, and I know a lot of people appreciate you and thank you for taking that stand.
And I appreciate it, Miko.
Let's just play a little game for shits and giggles. The Dolphins win the Super Bowl this year. Would you want to go to the White House to meet the president and get a handshake and a picture with him?
Oh, no, I can't do that.
Just asking. Because somebody's going to have to go. We know the Patriots are all going. I want to know if all the Falcon players are going to go.
and that's the thing. I mean, obviously, you know, I can't speak for nobody else. Obviously, you know, we going as a team.
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably go like me personally right now. I'm very interested to see how this man does as our president, and not somebody running as a candidate. I'm very interested to see how he does this first year as a president.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say that I would not go, but I did not vote for him. There's a lot of things that, you know, he said that I'm not for, that I can't necessarily respect. So I'm gonna just say, now that he's our president, I'm interested to see how he does.
Okay, Tom Brady, you know, Tom Brady's friends with him, right? They're homies or whatever. And, you know, I had like, this is the example I'm going to give, just because, you know, most of my listeners I have to give them examples. So if I have homegirls, and my homegirls are hoes, right? They out here just being hoes, but I love them and they're my friends. And when we're around, they don't act like hoes. They're just my friends. Should I be judged by being their friend? Because Tom Brady feels like he shouldn't be judged by being Donald Trump's friend, whether he, you know, grabs women by the pussy or not, is none of his business. Whenever they're around, he's a cool nigga. So what do you think of that? Like, yeah, as far as judging people based on their the company that they may keep?
I'll say if everybody did that, then there'll always be, like, tremendous issues in this world.
Mm-hmm.
Because I got a lot of friends from back home that, you know, might do stuff that I don't necessarily do anymore, but you know what I'm saying? They don't necessarily do it around me, and I still kick it with them. You feel me? I'm mm-hmm. doing my thing, they doing their thing, whatever. So I feel him with that. So and trust me, it's a lot of people in this world that's the case. So I mean, I feel him with that. I don't necessarily think you should judge somebody just by all the company they keep. What's your take on that, Meek?
Well, my take is this. Like, for example, I gave you an example of hoes. I have hoe friends, and as long as their hoism doesn't affect, you know, my money, or it doesn't affect, you know, what I'm viewed as a parent, because sometimes hanging out with hoes can affect you as a parent, you know? And
yeah.
So I feel that there are certain things that you have to remove from your life, your personal life.
True.
Because of the way it may affect you as a career or as a parent. You know, Tom Brady has children. He has a daughter. And
right.
I just question whether I would want to associate with a guy who said some of the disrespectful
right.
things that he said about women. You know what I mean?
Right.
There's some things where it's like, you know what? These are my whole friends. I only see them when we in the club. Like, I don't bring them home. I don't let my son hang out with my whole friends. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just certain ways that you have to associate with whole friends. And I feel like that with
yeah.
political friends as well. There's certain ways that you can still be friends with them, but calling them when they win is kind of whack to me, because they won on some bullshit. And you know what I mean? So it's just like a double-edged sword for me. Both sides is going to cut you, and you have to stand
yeah.
in it, whatever you choose. And Tom Brady is, you know, he's avoiding it, which, you know, he should avoid it, because he wants to just talk about football. But what happens when you got a friend like Donald Trump who want to talk, brag about you calling him? You got to deal with that. Like, that's the kind of friend he is. He can't be trusted. He's going to tell whenever you call him. You know, so
yep.
I feel like Tom has got to take this L because he made that choice. And sometimes you have to take L's for your friends that you have. That's how I feel about it.
Like,
for example, if you have some friends that might rob banks, and one day they're in your car, y'all just riding around because, you know, these are your homies. You came back to see them. You get pulled over. It's one of them got the stolen money and it's in the car. Like, you might go down with that. You see
exactly.
what I mean?
Yeah. Nah, definitely.
It's tricky. It's a little tricky. You know what I mean? It's tricky, tricky. But, you know, I almost don't want to call Tom Brady the GOAT anymore, or one of the GOATs, because he supports Donald Trump. But, you know, we all can't be perfect. Everything else. And look at Tom Brady's life. He's rich. He got a bad little white girl. You know what I'm saying? Life is perfect. He's a perfect quarterback. Look at his coach, the organization he works for, the rings he has. Something got to be wrong with him, right?
Yeah.
And it might be that he's Donald Trump's friend, you know? So that's sometimes the L's we have to take in our life, that's our one imperfection. So I'm going to give Tom Brady that one imperfection, and that's that being Donald Trump's friend. But anyway, let's get back to some football talk, because we do have to talk about how incredibly awesome the Dolphins did this season. 10 wins, got to the playoffs. I mean, I'm not going to act like I saw it coming. I never imagined that you guys would be this good. You know how I feel about your quarterback. We don't need to get into all that. What did it feel like being on a team where nobody respected you? You guys didn't even really get any highlights this year. Like, it was almost
exactly.
just like, yeah, the Dolphins won again. Moving on. How did it feel?
Hey, I mean, everybody just had that renegade mentality, that chip on our shoulder, that started with our head coach, man. You know, he honestly could care less, you know, about the respect. He honestly could care less about all the highlights and whatnot. You know, he just wanted us to go out there, ball, find a way to win one game every single week, and everybody adopted that mentality, and it worked for us. You know what I'm saying? So every week when you would see them talking about every other team, if you know we're the team with like a 6 6-game winning streak. You know, it was just like, okay, they still ain't talking about us. But, you know, as long as we keep winning, they ain't going to have no choice but to talk about us.
Right.
You feel me? So, I mean, it was fun, though, Meek. I say that, you know, it was different than the past, past teams we've been on. And, you know, definitely one we had to cherish because, like you said, it's not always like that. It hasn't always been like that with us. So, definitely had fun. Definitely wouldn't trade that experience for anything.
Right, right. Okay, so you guys were, so 6-game winning streak. I don't even know when the last time the Dolphins ever had a 6-game winning streak, but I do know the last time that they were had a winning season was 2008. And so after all these years, finally giving the fans and the organization a winning record, and you get to the playoffs, something that has not happened in a long time as well, and then you take a big fat L to the Steelers. Was it all worth it? Was the ride worth it? Was getting there all worth it and to take an L like that?
Hey, you know what it was, because no excuses. They, you know what I'm saying, they played better than us that day. We was not on, you know, even for the injuries and stuff like that, we was not on our A game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we made too many mistakes, especially early on, gave up 14 quick points.
Quick, yeah.
But it was definitely worth it. Yeah, it was definitely worth it just for the fact we a lot of young guys who had never been to the playoffs before got that experience. Mm-hmm. You know, for a guy like Cam Wake, who's been playing his whole career, that's not how he wanted to go out, you know, for his playoffs. That's not how he wanted to end the season. But to say he actually got there, you know, like that was an accomplishment. But guys, no, now, okay, next year we go on a run. You know, it ain't good enough just to make it to the playoffs. Now we got to come with it once we get in there.
Mm-hmm. So what do you, if you had to just put it on one thing? There was one thing is what got you guys over the hump to get the winning season, to get to 6 games in a row and get to the playoffs. What was the one thing you could point out for this year that you think got you guys over the hump as an entire team?
It's one thing, like it has an A and a B to it, though, but it's the coaching and the development.
Okay.
Coaching and development of young players.
Talk to me about Coach Adam Gase, Vance Joseph, some of the guys that came in this year to kind of, you know, rebuild the broken down team that, you know, I was associated with.
So I'll say this, man. Coach Gase, he came in just with not necessarily a no-nonsense attitude, but he was just all about production and results. If you was a guy that he felt was going to ball for him, he was going to keep you around. He was going to play you. If you was somebody that wasn't going to ball or didn't have the potential to ball, then, you know, no hard feelings, but he was going to get somebody else in there who could. And, you know, and anybody who get it, he didn't play favorites. He didn't care about how much money
new.
He was making.
You know, that's new in this league. That doesn't happen. It's always about the contract and the draft class. So that's a pretty good opportunity for anybody.
Exactly, and that's what made the difference for us. You know, everybody felt like they had a chance. You know, okay, if I get my opportunity, I got a chance to ball with him, and that was Coach Gase's mentality, man. Just focus on us. Don't worry about outside distractions. Don't worry about the media. Don't worry about what everybody's saying about us because they don't know. You know, like just we gonna ball and it's gonna be because of us. And then when you talk about Coach Gase, I mean not Gase, VJ, I mean he just, you know, being a previous DB in the league for coaching for so long at a high level, you know, and just being a smart dude, period, he knew how to get the most out of his players.
Right.
Like he knew, okay, this is your strength, this is your weakness, this is what I'm gonna do to help you. You know, ball. You know, everybody's going to get a turn. You know, I'm not going to say, oh, just this one player is going to make all the plays for us. Like, no, everybody's going to get a turn, and when you get your turn, just go.
Right.
And, he knew how to put guys in position to make plays. He knew how to get everybody involved, and, you know, that worked out for us.
Wow. Well, I have to congratulate you guys. I mean, I wish it would have happened when I was there. But it was kind of fun to watch.
If we had BG on this squad, trust me, what he did when we didn't have Vance Joseph.
I don't know, Mike T. The fans seem to think the reason you guys made the playoffs because Brent is off the team. He and I were cancer in the locker room. Now that we were gone, now you guys can get to where you need to be because we're out. So I don't know.
And you know what? All I gotta say is, man, BG was definitely missed. We loved everybody we had on our squad. You know, obviously I go to war with those guys any day. But now, if you could have BG on your team or play against BG, you definitely want BG on your team, man.
Right.
Straight up.
Right. So you know we're gonna play y'all next year in Miami.
Hey, it's gonna be a fun one.
It's going to happen. I'm so happy it's gonna be in Miami too. That's my favorite part about it. Quite honestly, that will be my next game in that stadium. But anyway, speaking of next year, you are unrestricted free agent going into the 2007.
Nah, I wish me.
You're restricted free agent.
I am restricted.
You are restricted. They got you by the balls. Damn. They got
it's,
you another
it's
year.
Crazy.
They get to
another
have you
year,
another
me.
Year. So you got a first round tender. Have you figured anything out yet? Are we still just...
I think they have options. They got the low round tender, which I doubt they do. You know what I'm saying?
I doubt, knowing the NFL.
Exactly. Yeah. Hey. I doubt they do that.
Okay.
But they got that. They have that tender. They have the second round tender.
And the first.
Or I think they can try to work out a deal.
Okay. What are you hoping for?
So I think that's where I'm looking at.
You want the deal?
Obviously, everybody wants a deal. You know, like, nobody wants to, you know, just play. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, play on these one-year deals and knowing
you're
going to be bouncing around
yourself.
And all that stuff.
You know
exactly.
What's... So,
but,
go ahead. I feel so sad because I'm reading your life story, what we did. This is the same thing that happened to us, and then we got franchise tagged. You know what I'm saying? It's like they keep
exactly.
one year and you know what I'm saying? Nickel and diamond you
exactly.
getting all your good years out. You know what I'm saying? Then
yep.
they want to call you
exactly.
old. You like that's they going to call you old by the time they've milked you. That's what it feels like sometimes.
Yep.
So I hope that does not happen to you. You know what I'm saying? You have a better, I think your opportunity might be a little bit better considering that, you know, you've been with this franchise the whole time and hopefully there's a little bit of respect for what you've come in and done for them. Like I said, you've been playing Captain Save-A-Ho all season at every position in the secondary outside of the outside corner. Did you ever play any outside corner this year?
Nah,
no outside yet. That's you fuck around that next year. You never know. You never know, Mike T. Because
they might need me.
They might need you, and that's one thing that they can get count on you. And that's what's really dope about you. When people actually can count on you and know that, you know, if I throw him here or there, you know what I'm saying, I'm secure, I'm comfortable, and that just comes to a testament of your hard work, and you know what I'm saying, who you are as a person. So shout out to you.
Appreciate it, man.
Good luck with whatever happened next year, but do not think we done talking because we've got to talk some playoffs now. You was at my house last night. We had an epic pool party.
Yeah.
This recording was supposed to happen yesterday, but what had happened was we had a little too much.
You know why it happened,
Yeah.
Exactly. It's the off season, man.
The off season. We was too lit, turned up. We had a good crowd, good people talking football, having fun. So we decided to do it today. But what did you think about, first of all, let me ask you, who did you have winning the Falcons Packers game and also the Patriots and the Steelers game?
Patriots Steelers, you know, having played both teams, I already pretty much knew like the Patriots were going to win that game, barring like some crazy injury or mm-hmm. something like that. Our Steelers just playing too dope. You know, I definitely had the Patriots winning that one all the way. They're just Facine, Tom Brady, them. Their system is. I didn't think the Pittsburgh's defense was stiff enough to stop them. And then when it came down to AB and Le'Veon, I just knew the Patriots' run defense was going to limit. I didn't think they was going to shut Le'Veon
right.
and down like that. Then he got hurt, but I knew they would be able to limit Le'Veon. And then I knew like they would play some type of bracket. Type of one double on AB and force somebody else to win the game for him and that just couldn't happen. So I had the Patriots winning that one all the way. But when it came down to that Green Bay Atlanta game, that was a little tricky.
Mm.
I thought my man A-Rod was going, you know, work some magic and find a way with all the injuries to steal, find a way to just ball. But you know, kudos to Atlanta's defense to to, you know, they took away, or you know, that the what options he did have
right.
available to him, and just balled. And they were opportunistic. They made the play they were supposed to make. They got pressure on them, you know. So that was kudos to them. And obviously, I did not think Green Bay's defense was going to shut down Julio or anybody on that offense.
Mm-mm-mm. Yeah, I had the Falcons winning. I picked the Falcons to the Super Bowl right after week 16. I'm trying to find the audio because nobody's believing me, but it was actually on my own podcast. But I think I put out two that week, so I'm not sure which one I said it on, so I got to go back and listen to them. But I picked the Falcons, and that's because they're in our division, and we played them twice, and I know that team probably – The three teams in the NFL that I know better than anybody is the Falcons, the obviously the Bucks and the Dolphins. So having seen the Falcons twice in person and also just watching film on them, and I mean it was easy for me to pick the Falcons to the Super Bowl. I don't know why everybody else didn't. I understand the whole Aaron Rodgers situation, but they just got thinner and thinner as the season went on. And there was going to be a breaking point. Aaron Rodgers can't do it all by himself.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
There's always a breaking point. Yep.
Yeah, he had a breaking point. It probably would have happened in Dallas had the Cowboys not come out and shit the bear early in the game and then play catch up. Because they were thin last week. You know, they were really thin. But the Cowboys, the inexperience just, I think, you know, got the best of them. You know, so I had the Falcons winning. Obviously, a lot of people had the Patriots winning. Which was two blowouts. We've only had really one good game in the playoffs so far, and it was that. Well, no, you know what? The Steelers-Chiefs game was a good one also. And then we had the Cowboys and the Packers. So going into Super Bowl, Pro Bowl week is next week, that, you know, we both got snubbed. Anytime you top four corner in the league and get snubbed at the Pro Bowl, that's when you just have to just figure out that, you know, this is sometimes – it's okay to be popular and win the popularity contest, but sometimes it's disrespectful when you have this honor of something that, you know, people put Pro Bowls, you know, as a badge of honor on their career. And when you have people that really should be there, aren't there, and the award being something that people kind of, you know, praise, it's kind of rude.
Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of rude, but,
yeah,
you know,
definitely.
You just got to roll with those punches. So week after that, we roll into the Super Bowl, and now we have two of the most explosive offenses in the league. We have the New England Patriots and we have the Atlanta Falcons going head to head in the Super Bowl. Nobody predicted this, but I did. I actually picked the Patriots. Before the season started, I picked the Patriots. And as the season went along, I said all season the Falcons were going to be a problem as long as their defense didn't get in their way. And the defense actually got better as the year went on, better and better and better. And here they are in the Super Bowl. What is Mike T's prediction?
Oh, shoot, man. You said, Atlanta, I know New England.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go ahead and say I think New England's going to win this game. Mm. I say I think the Patriots are going to win the Super Bowl.
Tell me why. Tell us why.
Okay, obviously, Julio's going to get his. I don't see them stopping him. I see a good game plan that New England put together to kind of contain him and try to make somebody else try to win. But he's going to get his. And it's going to be a good game. I see Sanu, you know what I'm saying, getting off a little bit. They're two-headed monsters with their running backs. You know, they're going to be a problem coming out the backfield, especially catching the ball. But I think that defense is going to do just enough to stop him, and they're going to win the game because, honestly, I haven't seen Atlanta's defense like that. You know, Atlanta's defense good. I haven't seen Atlanta's defense, but I don't see anyone just shutting down the Patriots offense.
Right.
I don't see them shutting down the Patriots offense. So what's your take on that?
Well, just like you haven't seen anybody shut down the Patriots offense, I haven't seen anybody shut down the Falcons offense. Their lowest scoring game this season, I believe they scored 15 points in a game against the Eagles week 10. Which was a random game, but outside of that, they have been 24 points or higher, averaging just under 34 points a game, first in the NFL. The Patriots are third with 27.6. I mean, to be honest with you, sometimes your defense, The Patriots are always going to have a good defense, and the reason I say that is because they always have a good offense. Well, the Falcons haven't always had a good defense, even when they've had a good offense. And even this year, they started off, they were, you know, the Falcons defense was giving up 25 points a game at one point, and then they got it down to 19. So,
yeah.
To me, when you're looking at a team like that, that is just still on a roll, like – their defense was the one thing that I felt like was in the way. You know, once they started getting to the quarterback, you know, it started helping the secondary because they lost their number one. They lost Trufant. They lost their starting left cornerback. Guys have been filling in. Ricardo Allen is at safety, like balling. Like, they just have these people that are coming from nowhere. Phillip Wheeler, who could not do shit for the Dolphins. Nothing. Like, he was, like, really a bust for most people when he got signed as a free agent. Came over, and now he's with Atlanta shining because it appears that defensive coordinator has found a way to help Phil Wheeler be successful in the defense instead of being in the way. You know what I'm saying? So they've got all these guys. They've got a journeyman, Babineau on the D-line. They've just got a whole bunch of key pieces on that defense that just will not give up and will not quit. And whenever their offense does, you know, which doesn't happen very often, Matt Ryan's not turned the ball over a lot. I think he has 7 interceptions, which is incredible. You know, they're not they're being thankful of that. You know, all that rest they're getting on the bench, you know, with their offense running,
it
makes a huge difference. And so they're not in the way. The only problem is, like you said, nobody stops the Patriots. So are we going to have a shootout is what I'm looking at. This is looking to me like a shootout. Like these two games we just saw where we seen two teams getting in the 30s and the other team just barely hanging on in the teens. We're going to see two offenses go at it. And I truly feel like this game is going to be won on the sideline with the coaches. I feel like the coach.
And,
go ahead.
Oh, no, I was about to say, to your point right there, and after you saying all that, I think you're right. And I think it will come down to the coaches. Do you think the coach with the more experience of being in the Super Bowl is going to edge that out, or do you think Dan Quinn, with his experience, you know, being in Seattle and, you know, having been there before, he'll be able to, you know, have an answer for that?
Well, see, I never bet against Bill Belichick. He is the greatest coach that I won't even hear of anyone else. However, sometimes it's another team's year. It's another team's year. And truthfully and honestly, that's why I'm going with the Falcons. I do believe that it's their year. I just think it's their year. I think everything is lining up and working out for them. There's an MVP war going on. We've kind of narrowed it down to two now, right? It's down to two. Who are you giving the MVP to?
I gotta say Matt Ryan. I gotta say Matt Ryan only because the Patriots were without Tom Brady for the first 4 games and they managed to still go 3-1.
Everybody keeps coming back to that specific fact every time they want to give it away from Tom Brady. I respect it. Honestly, I feel like a lot of people say things like this. Well, if you miss 4 games, it takes you time to get in a rhythm. You know, why didn't it take Tom Brady any time to get in a rhythm?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? But then when you're on the other side of this, Matt Ryan has actually proven that he's the MVP because a lot of people think, oh, if you stop Julio Jones, you can stop the Falcons. No, 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 no. They are a complete offense. Julio Jones has missed 3 or 4 games easily this year, and they have not missed a beat. That means Matt Ryan is not missing a beat. That means Matt Ryan is balling. They could run the ball down people's throats all they want, but guess what? 3rd in passing yards, 295 a game. You know what I'm saying? They're 5th in rushing with 120, but 2nd in yards total, 415. That offense is deadly. It's very, very deadly. It could go either way. I don't have all the answers. I'm just going to go with who I predict. I predicted both teams to the Super Bowl, and I'm just going to go with the Falcons. Fuck it. I'm going with the Falcons. I'm going with my boys. I got a whole bunch of friends on the team. It's not personal. It's just I've seen them up close. I've seen them all the way up close. I've seen the Patriots up close. Was in that division 3 years, so I know exactly what they're capable of. I don't believe that Bill Belichick is going to be outcoached. I do believe it could happen in 2 weeks, though. I believe one game, it can happen.
It's going to be one game. It's going to be their day.
Yeah. I think it's going to be one game. I think that the Falcons really want this. This the only issue I have is, are the fans going to show up? You know what I'm saying? Like, are the Falcons fan base, you know, they got a whole bunch of, you know, aliens from Atlanta. Everybody's not from Atlanta. So, you know, that's why you're able to take over the stadium, you know, the Georgia Dome on home games when you're a visiting crowd, because they will sell those tickets for the money. So now I'm wondering, are they going to spend some money and go to Houston and go support the team like they're supposed to? Because I know the Patriots are going to be there. I knew the Packers were going to be there, and I knew the Steelers would be there. Of any of those four teams that were in the division championship, the Falcons is the one fan base that I question, and I hope like hell they do their franchise right and go and show up and support that, you know, them.
and those guys deserve it, man. You know, they've been putting in the work all year, get to the Super Bowl. You know, what, the last time they been to the Super Bowl was 98. So, yeah, obviously those guys, they deserve it. So I'm pretty sure they'll show up.
Yeah. It's going to be a good one, man. Where are you going to be for the Super Bowl? Are you going?
Won't be at the game. Definitely be in Houston. You know, I'm from Houston. Be out there with the fam, with all my friends and all that stuff like that. Just enjoying the city, the festivities, and whatnot. But now I won't be at the game.
Cool, man. Well, it's gonna be a good one.
Where y'all gonna be at?
We're going to LA. We actually spend every Super Bowl in Los Angeles with my family and friends.
Okay.
We're usually coming from the Pro Bowl, so this year, not coming from the Pro Bowl for the first time in a long time. So it'll be a little weird, but you know, we're gonna be in LA and we spend Super Bowl Sunday with our LA crew. So we're going to be out there trying to decide if we're going to take Aiden with us or not. We're going to just have an ultimate grown-up turn-up, you know, child-free for about a week. Or we're going to, you know, allow him to come hang with his L.A. buddies, too.
For sure.
So that's where we're going to be. But I'm going to let you get out of here, Mike T. Thank you for joining me, man. It was great talking to you. I hope you enjoyed being on the iHeartMeeko podcast. It wasn't too bad, right?
Nah, it was long overdue. Nah, you know what I'm saying? Like, the skill they talk about me, nah, I appreciate it. You have me on the show, you know, obviously I had to come through and support, but nah, it was good.
It was good. Good times, and I wish you and Gloria and your beautiful daughter Genesis the best. You know, we going to be right here. We going to be hanging and just let's see how long we go in this NFL career, man. You can't get rid of me, all right? We're family now. We are family.
We here.
So I'll holler at you later.
We shoot for 10.
We shoot for 10. Let's get 10 in then.
Already.
All right. I'll holler at you later. Peace. Michael Thomas, safety for the Miami Dolphins, just joined me. I appreciate Mike T joining me. That was long overdue. We've been friends since he came to the Dolphins. His wife and I are really good friends. Our kids, you know, play and have fun together. So it's always good to have family on the airways with me. I hope you guys enjoyed that interview. Shout out one more time to the undrafted, to the guys that don't get picked, that don't give up, that continue to fight for, you know, their paycheck, first of all. Respect, and then, you know, a game that they truly love and, you know, would play probably for free, most of them. So shout out to all the undrafted guys out there, and it should be a testament to those of you, you know, in whatever career you have, like, just because you weren't picked first or maybe you didn't get that promotion, you got to keep fighting for what you believe in, for what you really want in life. So never give up. Peace. Jetzt zu.